But if we go back to the succession issues for we got a super chat.
Super chat from Jay Crook. Looks like Euron's fleet is going to be present. Think we will see Yara. Yeah, I do think so.
Yeah, we might see
Yara.
I don't
know if we'll see her. I think she'll be talked about if we don't see her.
Theon's definitely seems to be part of the group that goes to King's Landing. Maybe he goes elsewhere later or before, or I don't know, but yeah, we've been wondering about Yara. We thought we'd get like a scene to show what's up with that, but I guess it's just general straight up captivity that's not really, maybe it isn't very interesting to show that. Still, it'd be nice to know.
It would. Kind of reminds me of that one, which season was it when they had her just kind of dive in for that one like attempted rescue and then just, you never saw anything from her again.
Peter Blaze of the Emerald Isle is captain of the Weirwood Wanderers to long lives, quick deaths, cold beer, and warm women. Dagron is Marshal of the Axe, captain of the Red Tide, motto resistance is futile. Garion Pike is wielder of Grave Embrace, a Valyrian steel axe, captain of the Iron Wave, Iron's Kiss is eternal. Kyron Colesbane is captain of the Stone Shields, the Torrent breaks upon the stone. Captain Kithic Deadeye of the Scarlet Longbows, pierced by darkness. Cair Bruchard, captain of the Walking Drum, Yul Bosan, may there be a road. Hema Helminth is still captain of the Whispering Children while also being Shea's captain of her Queen's Guard. Let dead men tell, no secrets. Lady Lajara Dajo is captain of the all-female Wailing Widows, women and children first. Castellan of the Summer Island Keep Arboreal Point. She is Master Archer and nicknamed the Iron Lily. Cody the Crimson is Bastard of Bracken, captain of the Red Waste Exiles and recruiter of the Free Folk. And Cameron, the Hammer of Hornwood, is captain of the English Lions with the motto, Honor is the Reward of Virtue. We also have another super chat here.
Yes, we do, from the Phoenix of Skane. Mira deserves a good man, like Podrix or Sex God. Do you see any closure for either of the two? No, not really. I don't see any happy ending for either of them, unfortunately. I don't see any love.
I think that would be a good ending. That's a good match, right?
I think Mira, we'll see Mira again next season is my guess. I think she'll be back, but not this season. And Podrick, we'll at least see him next season, and maybe something comes up that makes this possible. I like this idea. I like this ship.
is Mira going to come back with Howland?
I think so. I think that's my guess, because she says she's going to be with her family. So. And, well, we don't know her mother's name. Presumably she's alive, but, you know, the father's the name that's been thrown around, and obviously he knows things. Another super chat, I guess, we got here?
Oh, yeah, we did. Undying One. Show has never been perfect. I prefer imperfections now than the long subplot of the High Sparrow 2 years ago and Arya's endless train. No, there's definitely been other low points. I don't even know that I think this is the lowest point the show's been.
Yeah.
But for me personally, it is one of the lowest. But it varies for people.
Yeah. I mean, earlier in the season, we were really happy with a lot of things. Yeah. And we may just find ourselves right back in that place. We really do. There really are peaks and valleys. And one thing that kind of bothers me about the fandom, I don't mean you guys, and I don't mean, you know, my co-hosts here. I mean, like, a lot of journalists. Because we live in an era of clickbait, and what you see now, like reactions to this episode, or Game of Thrones is just high fantasy now. What? After one episode? I mean, yeah, the pacing of the season has been, we've already gone at length on it about, but like, you can't just say what the show is now because of one episode and because of how often it changes and does different things. You know, it goes in different directions of different writers writing different episodes, you know, and that's sometimes why it moves around so much, is because you have different people writing different things.
We got like three super chats right there.
Okay, so I'll end that spiel and we'll do that.
From Alex M, Podrick's so good, they gave him the time for tree. Yeah, because they do that.
I guess Mira would too.
from Craig Lewis, where are you with respect to Gendry being Cersei's son? Was he in the Dragon Pit? Would be a great plot twist considering everything is laid out. I think all of us are, I think I can speak for all of us that we're pretty down on that possibility completely.
Yeah,
I don't think we need to talk much more about it, about the Dragon Pit. We talked about it a little bit, but we'll talk about it later as well, about where Gendry is, because we have some questions about where he is. We'll get to that a little bit later.
But yeah, I definitely agree. I don't think there's any chance that Cersei is Gendry's mother. It would be too hard for her to hide a pregnancy from Robert that wasn't his kid, you know, unless it was Jamie's kid, you know, unless she's passing it off as her own, you know, as Robert's.
Yeah, we got another super chat from Simon Hatch. What if John being a Firewhite will allow Danny to have children when they get together? I don't think it will happen, but interesting to think about. I don't know if that would have any impact on that in particular, but I definitely don't think that it's, you know, for sure that Dani can't have kids or anything. In fact, I think it's all more likely that she can have kids by the fact that they keep bringing it up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little biased because I think that this, some of these reason that George put it this way was because is to push towards a different form of government when it's all said and done. And I've long been a believer that the Iron Throne won't be a thing by the end of everything. So to me, that means George won't come up with a way for Dani to have kids. On the other hand, she clearly starts having her, her blood flow again at the Dothraki Sea. And so maybe George is, is fooling us a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. It could be a red herring. Get it?
No.
It could be. It could be that he wants us to think that she can't have kids, but she actually can't. It could be that we've been meant to think she can't have kids, but she can this whole time, etc. I mean, and I wanted to say something real quick. You and Sean were speculating about Dario shooting blanks or whatever you guys said. Just to be clear, you can have sex with someone for years and not get pregnant. People try for a long time. So Dani can't say anything about getting pregnant or not based on that.
It's true.
Clarify that.
It appears that, she's had plenty of opportunity to get pregnant, but it's not a slam dunk.
Yeah, she just, all it takes is they never had sex when she was ovulating. All these little things, it depends.
The thing, one argument against that, not that it doesn't tank the argument at all by any means, but if Dani thinks she can't get pregnant, she's not going to take any precautions.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, like I said, you don't have to take precautions to just not get pregnant. It's just coincidence.
I agree.
To move on, though, because I think, we just got another super chat.
Richard Seymour.
Richard Seymour, Cersei needs to join the Alliance against Winter. Otherwise, she can't betray them next season, right?
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. If she pretends to go along with the armistice, in order to make a move later, that would make sense. That would be her way of laying low so she can make a move. Especially if Tyrion's right that just putting all these armies here is going to keep them in place. Keep her, kind of make her behave, so to speak.
We got another super chat from Lucifer Means Lightbringer.
Oh, hey, buddy. Thanks, Elmo.
Ice and Fire. He said, we've only seen Winterfell and the Dragon Pit in the episode 7 preview, but it's going to be 79 minutes. Are they hiding something big in the rest of that time? Wall falls. We're going to talk about this more on Saturday, as you well know. But I think, there's more going on. But also, there's a lot of characters going on in King's Landing. I mean, we really only had three locations, I guess, in episode 6, and it was pretty long.
Yeah.
So
they might want to wrap some things up. They might want to show us Sam. We know we're going to see Euron again. And we're going to see Theon. So there's that. But I've been saying the wall will come down this season. I've been saying that since the beginning of the season. So this is the last chance for that to happen. And I did say end of the season is when it would happen. So maybe. Yoke Boy, you had something to say?
I just imagine that King's Landing is going to take a huge chunk, man. There's so much possibility. Like you say, so many, different dynamics to kind of show the viewer. I think there's going to be so much going on, and thinking back to episodes, the 9 and 10 episodes of previous seasons, there was often a kind of big event. So I think it would be centered around King's Landing.
Here's a lot of people are commenting with regards to a Brand vision. Yes, I think that it would be a major disappointment, major missed opportunity if Brand doesn't have another flashback. And this is part of why I brought up earlier in the episode how many show-only people still don't have a clear picture on who Jon's parents are. So they need further clarification. I imagine the showrunners know this. As much as we can accurately criticize them, whenever someone says D&D are just dumb, I just roll my eyes. I'm like, no, they're not. They are not just dumb. And that's not a good answer to why they made a decision anyway. So I think they're aware that this is unclear. And they know that it's a major story point. And we haven't had a Brand flashback yet. We had one at the end of last season. So I think that's a very good possibility. And a lot of people are hoping it's Harrenhal. I don't know if I would get my hopes up that high, but that would be really, really awesome.
Can you read that super chat, Aziz?
Yes. We have another super chat from Wilson Arms. And it says, John wouldn't kill the Night King because white for Cersei. Can you explain this? Contrast to Jaime's mad dash. It makes no sense at all to me, unless long game. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it is really unclear. And that is kind of an interesting comparison to Jaime's mad dash there. I'm not really sure. But No one's really had a great opportunity to take out Night King. I mean, people say Daenerys could have flown in on her dragon and done that. But let's be honest. Daenerys doesn't know who Night King is. She just showed up knowing that there was a problem that she needed to save her friends from. And she sees them on this frozen lake surrounded. She's going to save them. She doesn't know who the boss other is. She can maybe look around and see some dude standing there, but it's all happening really fast. So I forgive that piece of writing that Dany didn't just go right for the boss other, because she doesn't know who that is. She has very little background on what's going on in this spot. But I guess first we have a super chat from the Snow in Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. The title is The Dragon and the Wolf, and episode titles usually have more than one meaning. R+L, get hyped.
That's true. That is another reason to think maybe a brand vision is coming.
There's also been a lot of people over the past few weeks speculating on someone who could be Rhaegar Targaryen, a certain actor with a very funny name, Wilf Scolding. So that isn't confirmed or anything, but there are clues that maybe he could be, and he looks the part, certainly. So I'm pretty hopeful, actually.
Yeah, I am too. I think this is a reasonable hope. This isn't like one of those, I hope this is what they're thinking, because otherwise it doesn't make sense type of imagination theories that I've thrown out throughout the run of the show. Like, Gendry will be in the Golden Company. Nope.
I laughed so hard at you.
You already knew.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
I knew it wasn't that. I didn't know exactly what it was. I knew it wasn't that.
Yeah, you didn't know what it was, but you knew it wasn't that. Yeah. This is one that like has a lot more likelihood to actually happen, because it is, you know, in line with the main storyline rather than just some kind of random idea for how they might handle something that's totally not book oriented. So yes, you'll have to forgive my occasional wacky theorizing.
Not as bad as Sean.
Sean is our devil's advocate. Yeah, Sean is even more of a devil's advocate than I am. He will come up with things, reasons to maybe make it fit, and sometimes people agree with him and sometimes people should just roll their eyes. And well, that's the nature of the business.
Yeah. So we have a super chat, which we were gonna talk about it more later, but I guess we'll talk about it now if Aziz wants to. From King Stork 1, much love to History Bookers Podcast and Radio Westeros. Do you think the Beyond the Wall scenes were D&D's homage to the Battle of the Ice coming in Winds of Winter? Martin alluded to Russian medieval history in St. Petersburg recently. Yes, he did. That is true.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's an interesting catch.
To be clear, if you haven't seen our Battle of Ice episodes or haven't read about theories about it at all, the idea is that they'll fall into the ice, the opposing army.
That Stannis is trying to get basically them to go out on a lake and have the lake collapse under them, and that's how he can beat a larger army. And it's there's a lot of foreshadowing for it and a lot of just logistics that have it make sense. So I did not think of that comparison. That is pretty cool. I don't, in the behind the scenes, they didn't mention this as
we have it in the doc, so you did.
What's that?
We have.
Oh, yeah. They did.
Lady Gwyn thought of it. I thought, anyways, we had it in the doc. Oh. But
cool. So I didn't think of it. Lady Gwyn thought of it.
I put it in the doc. Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to say something here, because in the behind the scenes, I was particularly irritated that D.B. Weiss kind of presented this as, oh, and then we thought about this thing. But
oh, yeah.
I was like, no, you didn't. You just borrowed that from George, who's, you know, it seems pretty obvious that that's what's going to happen, or at least, you know, that's the
But the do you really
theory.
Think they know that's what's going to happen?
I think
I don't know that he told them about that. And I mean, we saw how things turned out for Stannis in the show. I don't think they knew exactly what was going to go down.
Well,
I don't know.
I think it's pretty I mean, it's one of those theories that I feel like is so clearly telegraphed and given George.
I think they did.
I don't know. Put it past them.
I suppose.
Yeah, it's tough to know. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pessimistic.
I agree that both these theories are valid, because it's if they didn't know that George was planning that, then this is a natural idea for them to come up on their own. But yeah, it could be that they just kind of borrowed the idea without crediting it.
It
would be a spoiler, though, if they're like, because of this is going to happen in Winds of Winter, what is he supposed to say? Like, we got this idea from George, this thing that actually hasn't happened yet in the books. So that would be a spoiler. So there's also a chance that he didn't say that because of, not that they haven't spoiled book things before, just casually. So I wouldn't give him too much credit there.
I mean, they might have gotten
possible.
A lot of complaints about it. And George R. Martin himself might have been like, hey, don't do that.
There's
a lot of explanations for why they wouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah. Fair point.
As much as I defend them on show, way they've handled the show a lot of ways, I have no defense for them doing that. Mm-hmm. That's just crappy. Just total crappy. Alex M. Super Chat.
Blue eyes, white Viserion versus red eyes, black Drogon. I think that's the Yu-Gi-Oh!
That is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Joke, yeah.
The first part was, I didn't know there was red eyes, black dragon, but...
I think that one just might... He might have just made that one up.
Okay, cool.
Red eyes, what says red eyes, black Drogon? Oh, well, it's still the same joke.
Drogon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you did.
We've got a super chat real quick from King Stork 1. Could Uncle Benjen / Cold Hands have ridden on Viserion? Someone else in that Twilight Zone?
Whoa.
That's funny.
Benjen riding Viserion. That would have been cool.
I want the mountain riding. No, I don't. Whoa. I really don't. But I just
mountain
in terms
that
of,
rides.
In terms of undead people.
A dragon. Yeah. Yeah, in terms of undead, yeah, he would be the most terrifying. Like, whoa. He's the only dragon rider who would have a chance at carrying the dragon. You know, like they could reverse, like the dragon could ride him and it would still work, right? He's strong enough to. He's strong enough. Oh. Oh, come on. I get more of a reaction than that. That at least a groan. At least
I
get groaning
I was busy
from
laughing
that.
At the chat, actually.
After 3 hours, Aziz, you know, it's hard to even groan at your puns.
Oh, I had one for Aziz that I thought of last night, which we did not hit on. Surprisingly, I can't believe Viserion. It's pretty much telegraphed that it's going to be him that dies because he's the white dragon.
Yeah.
The white dragon.
The joke was there all along.
Groany, groan. Okay.